now listening to the Paul McGuire Report on Paul McGuire. Welcome to the program, wherever you're listening, in the USA or across the world. I want to examine the invisible power structure that controls this world. If anybody listening, and I think probably most of the people listening, you have at least a rough sketch in your mind about the way power flows down from the top to the bottom in our world and society. So I want to start with this. Everything that you learned in school, let's go to grammar school, first grade, or whenever your education began earlier than that. So let's say from first grade on, and that could have ended in high school, it could have ended in college, it could have gone all the way to a PhD in college or a university, or multiple PhDs. But the problem with that kind of education, it's not clean education. And by what I mean, it's not clean, it doesn't have integrity to it. It doesn't really reveal the truth to you. In fact, it just reinforces the masquerade. It reinforces the illusion. And as long as you're stuck in the illusion, you can't see the truth. You can't find freedom. And that's where most people are in our society today, wherever you live on planet Earth. You're stuck in the illusion. Now, I am working as fast as I possibly can in finishing up my new book, Power from On High. And I know I've said that a great deal, and once again, I apologize for not having it mailed to you sooner already. I don't like making excuses, but this is what happened, and so you'll know why. I pretty much had finished the book and was getting into the initial preparations for mailing it out to everybody, overnight, as fast as I could mail it to you. And then the coronavirus hit, and then the coronavirus vaccinations, and the economic destabilization, and all the stuff that goes along with that. It just started cascading down. And I looked at the book that I was going to send you, and I said, I can't send this to people. I'm going to have to take a risk. I'm going to have to take a risk of perhaps offending some people. But I think most people will stick with me, because so many things happened of a catastrophic nature and a global nature that the book was essentially, in my opinion, out of date and disconnected from the truth that you're looking for. That's what I'm looking for. So I have rewritten the entire book since then. That's what the delay is. I've rewritten the book because I wanted the book to include the full story of the coronavirus and the full story of a lot of things that are happening in our nation and world right now. I didn't feel right about mailing you out just a book. The world doesn't need another stupid book, whether it's from me or anybody else. The only book the world really needs is the Bible. So I made the decision to rewrite the book, which meant doing new research. So I'm working as fast as I can at this moment to get that book to you. And I hope to send it to you soon. I hate being ambiguous, but that's the best I can do. I've rewritten the book, and I've put in all the missing material, all the up-to-date material that it needs in order for the book to have a wallop, to have a punch to it, because truth is explosive. And I don't want to give you a flatline book. I don't like flatline books. So I think you're going to find it worth the wait. And because worth the wait for two reasons. One, I deal with and I expose hidden facts based on documentation. But I don't leave you there in the proverbial desert staring at a mirage, thinking you're going to jump into a swimming pool.
I make sure to spend a great deal of time revealing to you from God's word what I believe is the solution for you, the solution for me, and the solution for God's people all across the world in the United States. In other words, when you study the Bible, you study the history of God's people, the Jews, when you study the history of the early Christians, you see similarities, and you see that over and over again, God, when bad things happen, when cataclysmic things happen, God doesn't leave his people out in the desert. He doesn't just dump them. God makes a way where there is no way. God makes a path of deliverance, supernatural deliverance. So I incorporated that in the book because I don't want to leave anybody hanging there in, you know, despair. So I'm excited about the book because I believe the book is going to accomplish its goal. And I struggle. I want you to know that I struggled with that. I don't claim to be perfect. You know that. But I prayed night after night after night after night. I would pray, Lord, organize my mind with your spirit. Organize my mind. Show me how to put this book together. And then, Lord, minister to your people. Minister to people through the power of the Holy Spirit. Let it flow through me as the writer, and let it flow into your people, setting them free. That's my goal. And so I need your prayers as we're finishing running this race. I need your prayers, intercessory prayer warfare, because it's warfare. And I need you to partner with me in your prayers, your donations, your contributions, and by spreading this message far and wide as fast as possible. The bottom line is we're in the greatest battle for the hearts and minds of mankind in the history of the world. So that means everybody's head is a battlefield. The interior of your head, that sounds weird, the interior of your head is a battlefield. And the more input you get that's true and biblical and contains God's power and God's word, the more you feed that into your inner man or woman, the greater the likelihood is that when the day is done, you will be a participant in a victorious spiritual warfare. You will be an overcomer. You will be victorious. And what will enable you to do that is something that I focused in on in the book, which is when you choose to stop playing tiddlywinks, and you know what I'm talking about. You meet people like I meet people all the time, Christians who essentially are playing tiddlywinks rather than invading the promised land like the people in the Old Testament did when they invaded Canaan. Joshua, when he invaded Canaan, which was filled with Nephilim and Rephaim. And even though they were just a handful of men, they had faith. And that faith enabled them supernaturally to overcome the giants in the land. And so there are giants in our land today. Make no mistake about it. You see them, I see them. Just turn on your TV. There are giants in the world. And they're giants because, let's say, in comparison to us, they have enormous amounts of wealth, power, media exposure, et cetera, et cetera. What they possess in terms of weaponry, power, and control is literally astronomical. And so they're giants. But God told us that we are not to perceive them from a perspective of fear, with our knees knocking together and just mumbling, oh, they're giants, because that's a defeatist attitude, and God didn't call us to have a defeatist attitude. God called us to overcome and conquer the land, and that's what this is all about. That's what the book is all about. That's what this ministry is all about. And if you study the Bible carefully, one of the themes the Lord has been speaking to me about a great deal is the theme of unity. When God's people come together in unity, like they did in, for evil reasons in ancient Babylon, for good reasons when they met in the upper room and God poured out his Holy Spirit, God's people come together in unity. They come together in the integrity of God's word. And then standing on that foundation of truth, on that platform, you have the power from on high, the dunamis. You have the power to conquer the enemy. So we look at our land today, and just names pop into my head. Fauci, he's a giant. Not a giant in the sense of being a great man. I'll just not say anything about what I think about Fauci, but it certainly isn't a great man. And the reason I'm not saying things out loud is because I've heard some horrific things about Fauci, but I don't know if it's true, so I can't just repeat stuff that I don't know 100% is true. And so you've got to understand what's going on. Now, the Christian church in America, which basically is the church, the Christian church that influences the whole world, it went down a very bad and a very wrong road a long time ago. It made a fatal series of errors that it shouldn't have made. Because, you know, I'm not just saying this to sell books. I'm saying this to sell books so you have the education and the knowledge and the power you need. But when the Pilgrims and Puritans came to America, they had a deep knowledge of God's word. They had a biblical worldview. And because of that, God could trust them to pour out his Holy Spirit, to pour out power from on high on the Pilgrims and Puritans. And because they had a biblical worldview, God could trust them to operate in every area of life within the context of a biblical worldview. So, when the Pilgrims and Puritans came here, they came to America to establish and settle a Christian nation, a nation based on the Bible. So that made it unique and different among all the other nations in history by comparison. Every other nation in human history and every other revolution and nation in human history that came after the Pilgrims and Puritans was birthed from the philosophy of secular humanism. And therefore, the so-called freedoms they promised, the so-called economic prosperity, the so-called governmental structure, the so-called laws, all of that flowed out of the Pilgrims' biblical worldview and biblical culture. Now, no other nation in the history of the world ever did that before. So the French Revolution, which was birthed out of militant secular humanism, that came just like a decade and a number of years after the American Revolution. What was the prime? And I talk all about this in my book, The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World. So what was the primary difference between the French Revolution and the American Revolution? One thing, the French Revolution was birthed purely from the ideas of men, the ideas of the occult, of Satanism, And the French Revolution was birthed from Illuminati and the secret societies, and the French Revolution was birthed from a humanistic worldview. And so the French Revolution just happened to be the mother of all the revolutions that came afterwards. So let's name some. The French Revolution was the mother of revolutions like the Russian Communist Revolution, the Communist Chinese Revolution, the Cuban Communist Revolution, and so on and so forth. And the Illuminati, the occult secret society known as the Illuminati, financed the French Revolution. But the so-called geniuses behind the French Revolution were intellectuals and very powerful men with their minds, and they had a deep, passionate inner hatred for the Bible, for God, for Jesus Christ, and for Christianity. They were not neutral towards Christianity. The French philosophers like Rousseau and Voltaire, they hated Christianity with a passion. You never learn this stuff in school or the media or movies or film or the educational system. They conceal these very important facts from you because they don't want you to understand what's really happening in history. So the French Revolution was financed by the Illuminati, an occult secret society. Now, that occult secret society is essentially the same occult secret society that is ruling the world today. The Illuminati bloodline families, wealthiest individuals from the international banking families and the richest men and women in the world are Illuminati families. And they own everything and they control everything. And they have absolute power. And what they're about right now is expanding their power, expanding their total control and total domination of planet Earth. So let's bring it right up to this second. Their goal is to totally control planet Earth because they're Luciferians, and they will do it by any means necessary, no matter how evil. So you never heard this in school, whether you went to a Christian school or a secular school. They didn't tell you the all-important facts. They didn't tell me the all-important facts. And here are some of the all-important facts that you need to know. Otherwise, you don't know anything. You see, if you don't really know the truth and how to apply it to what's going on, you've been dumbed down scientifically, and then you've been made impotent and neutered. You're basically useless in the great spiritual battle of the last days that America's right in the middle of. So the Illuminati financed the French Revolution. And they did outrageous things to show the people of Russia, to show the people of the world, to show the people of America. They wanted to demonstrate just how much they hated Christianity. So they had a humanist revolution. Now remember, any revolution in any nation which doesn't come from Christian principles, but if it comes from secular humanist principles, it's called a humanist revolution. And humanist revolutions always turn super violent, crazy, savage, and barbaric, because the people initiating the revolution, they have no restraints, they have no accountability. They believe in brute evolutionary force. You know, might makes right. The fittest will survive. And so they revolted in the streets of Paris, and I spent time researching this whole thing that I'm talking to you about when I was in Paris and filming when I was in Paris, because at that particular time, I was invited to speak in Paris to a church of 25,000 people. And the pastor wanted me to speak on these type of subjects, which is not usually what people want. They usually want, you know, a bouquet of roses. But I'm not your Valentine. You know what I'm saying? I'm here to tell the truth. So there was anarchy in the streets. The Illuminati set up row after row of the guillotines. And the Illuminati and the revolutionaries beheaded with the guillotines over 13,000 pastors, ministers, and clergymen. Their heads were chopped off in the guillotines. Mass murder because of the philosophy of humanism. And then they broke into the sanctuaries of the churches, and in an act of humanistic rebellion, they held wild sexual orgies, violence. They burned the sanctuaries. They committed every immorality they could conceive of. And it was all done to show their hatred for Christianity. Now, I stood on that ground, and I had a guide, and the guide was very helpful. But the guide didn't know anything about the things I'm talking to you about, and the guide didn't know anything about the Illuminati and secret societies and the French philosophers, etc. And that's what I want to communicate to you, because knowledge is power. And when you have knowledge, you have power. And when you have power, you won't be somebody's fool and you won't be a slave. So once again, knowledge is power. Why is the Christian church in America so pervasively powerless? Why is it being victimized? Why is it being oppressed and imprisoned and enslaved even as we speak? Why? Because the Christian church in America for the last 100 years or so is suffering from a vacuum of knowledge. And because they have a vacuum of knowledge, they have a vacuum of power. They're powerless. Therefore, the enemies of Christianity, those energized by the spirit of Antichrist and Satanism and Luciferianism, those people are deliberately and strategically in the process of initiating a full-blown Luciferian, humanistic revolution in the United States and around the world, order out of chaos. And it is their objective to destroy America, to destroy the influence of the Bible, to destroy all the knowledge of God's word, to destroy biblical morality, and so on and so forth, to just wipe it out. You say, why would they want to do that? Because they know better than Christians. See, Christians don't know a whole lot. They don't have knowledge, so they're powerless. You know what happens to powerless people? I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not trying to frighten you. But what always happens to powerless people is they go into captivity, they go into slavery. So ask yourself the question, why did the middle class and working class Germans in Nazi Germany, why did they go into slavery and captivity so quickly? Just like we're doing here in the USA. The German Christians, along with the Jews, went into captivity. Barbaric, horrific captivity. They went into captivity because they had no knowledge of history, of science, of psychology, of politics, of military warfare, et cetera, et cetera. So they were ripe to be conquered. God did not want them to be conquered, just like God does not want his people to be conquered today. But when God's people insist and rebel and defy God with an obstinate and stubborn heart, God will allow God's people to reap what they have sown in terms of ideas and behaviors and stuff. So I wanna get in close. I want to do a close-up of what happened in Germany. You will never, ever hear about this in a public educational system or a Christian educational system. And it's a travesty. It is shameful, because by depriving God's people and conservatives and liberals and people of every kind, when you deprive them of the specific knowledge I'm trying to communicate to you now, when you deprive them of that, you weaken them to such an extent that they go into slavery, they go into captivity, and they're conquered, and they're enslaved, and then they're slaughtered. It goes that quick. So this should be taught by pastors. It's not a side issue, by the way. This should be taught by Bible teachers, ministries, denominations, seminaries, colleges. It should be mandatory teaching, because it's essential. It's essential knowledge. So let me break it down to you as fast as I can. You know this principle yourself very well. And the principle is a biblical principle. When you read Genesis to Revelation, you read the story of the Jews and the relationship the Jews had to God. Whenever the Jews, God's chosen people, decided to disobey God, to reject God's word, to commit sin, to walk away from the ways of God, whenever God's people would do that in rebellion and sinfulness, the next thing that would always happen inevitably is that would open the door for the demonic powers to take them into captivity, bondage, and slavery. And they were captured. And it was always, make no mistake about it, this is no cute thing. It was a brutal, brutal process. So let's revisit Germany and Hitler. And let's just go over some bullet points. Now, I explain everything that I'm trying to teach you now, I explain in much further detail in my books. And I encourage you to read them, and I encourage you to have actual Bible studies based on them, because it will change your life and the life of the people you know. So the bottom line is that when you go back to Germany, Germany consisted of middle class and working class people who were very much, in many ways, very similar to the ordinary Americans today. There's a great similarity. Now, they were deprived of knowledge, which gives you power. It was hidden from them. The ordinary German people, what was hidden from them were these facts, just like these facts are being hidden from us in America and Europe and around the world. These are the facts that were hidden from them. The major fact was that originally Germany was a Christian nation, in many respects a born-again nation like America. And the vast numbers of people knew the Bible. They experienced revival. There were great preachers who preached in Germany. And the German people had, for all practical purposes, a strong biblical worldview. And as a consequence of that, revival was flowing on a regular basis through Germany. And the secret to Germany's strength and power was its commitment to the Word of God. So, the German people, the hardworking middle class and middle class Germans, they decided to rebel against God like the Jews did. They decided to rebel against God by rejecting the Word of God, by rejecting teaching the Word of God accurately, by rejecting worshiping in spirit and truth the true God, Jesus Christ. And they rejected God by allowing unbelief to fill their society, their churches, their seminaries, and their culture. The Germans began to behave like non-believers, pagans. They got heavily involved in the occult, Satanism, witchcraft, and occult secret societies. So obviously, they went down the wrong road. And as you know, the Bible says, as you sow, so shall you reap. Now, this is not taught in Christian seminaries and churches and media, et cetera, et cetera. You gotta dig for this. Like the Bible says in the book of Proverbs regarding the persistence you need to discover wisdom and knowledge. You got to go after it like somebody who's digging in a gold mine or a silver mine. You have to be aggressive and tenacious to uncover the deep truths of the Word of God. So here's what happened. The churches very slowly began to reject the Word of God, to reject the Bible, and then the churches, the pastors, the Christian professors, no longer believed in the Word of God, literally. They began to view the Word of God like a fairy tale, like a mythology, and they basically taught unbelief and believed unbelief. So they became spiritually infected, spiritually paralyzed, and spiritually weak. And we all know the historical result of that. They went into captivity, slavery. They were conquered. Now, what was the main agent of accelerating unbelief, belief in the occult, belief in humanism? What was the main agent that was energizing God's people to consecutively move away from the Lord and His Word, and a solid belief in the Bible? What was the causative agent that was driving that? It's always hidden from you. So I'm going to tell you what it was. It was, at its root, this is important to understand. This is no minimal thing. Every Bible teacher, every youth minister, every pastor should know this account to whatever degree, because when you understand this, you understand why it is we are temporarily losing the great spiritual battle and what we need to do in terms of changing to be victorious in the great spiritual battle. And so here it goes. There was a group of Marxist professors who were highly educated, highly trained, and they had their educational institute known as the Frankfurt School, and it was based in Moscow, Russia, and it was under the umbrella of the KGB, or the Communist Russian Secret Police. Now, these Marxist communist revolutionary professors moved out of Russia and they settled in Frankfurt, Germany, where they established the what was called the Frankfurt School of Theological Criticism, or the Frankfurt School of Theological Higher Criticism. So all of these professors were dedicated Marxists, communists, socialists, and their game plan was to ignite a communist, socialist, Marxist revolution in America and other Western nations, but do it not violently, do it through cultural revolution and things like establishing politically correct words, etc. So they plan to accomplish the communist goal of takeover of Western nations, but takeover covertly by changing the culture. And so many of their professors were famous authors and famous intellectuals. I used to read their books when I was in grammar school and high school. People like Herbert Marcuse and many others. And their goals, they listed their goals. Christians don't pay attention to what their goals were because their goals are still active today at this very second. And they listed what their goals were. Number one, to destroy and annihilate the Christian religion. Number two, to destroy and annihilate the institution of Christian marriage. Number three, to destroy any concept of a biblical absolute right or a biblical absolute wrong. And then number four, destroy anything to do with nationalism. And number five, destroy anything to do with patriotism. So essentially, the Frankfurt Marxist School professors were communist revolutionaries with the goal of completely destroying America as we know it. And that goal has not stopped. It's going full speed ahead. And that is the reason for the existence of the seeker-friendly church, the existence of the corruption in the educational system because of the Frankfurt School professors, and many other things. They're a very negative, satanic, Luciferian force. So, the seeker-friendly church, by the way, the Frankfurt School professors first invaded corporate America, and under the guise of teaching them how to build corporate America, how to build their businesses, that was just a disguise for programming them with communism. So, the name of their schools, of the Frankfurt School, the Frankfurt Schools of Higher Criticism, or the Frankfurt Schools of Theological Higher Criticism. Those are just fancy words for we're going to use our mind, our intellect, history. We're going to reinvent history, and we're going to teach our students and teach society that the Bible is a flawed book written by men. The Bible is a fairy tale book. The biblical principles in the Bible are erroneous. They're a fairy tale. Capitalism enslaves people. Marriage enslaves people. And the Bible is a corrupting, suppressive, destructive influence in American society and other societies, and has to be destroyed as fast as possible. That's the goal of the Frankfurt Marxist schools. So they used this psychological warfare technique to undermine and destroy Christianity, Christian schools, the family unit, patriotism, nationalism, the media, and the culture. They used this one highly effective strategy to wipe out and annihilate all forms of biblical Christianity. And this is what their weapon was. By using the technique of the German schools of theological higher criticism, they used the psychological technique of what's called super critique, super criticism. And they would teach it to their students. So when their students studied and read the Bible, when pastors got a theological education at the Frankfurt schools or whatever, immediately they would be brainwashed, programmed, socially engineered, immediately their minds would be flooded with programming and repetition and all the aspects of classic brainwashing and mind control and propaganda. They would program the minds of the students to read and look at the Bible through the lens, through the viewpoint of what is known as theological higher criticism, which means you're going to look at the Bible and Christianity through the worldview of super, super critical analysis. You're going to be so critical towards the Bible that you're going to tear it to shreds. The goal was to indoctrinate the students to be so critical of the Bible that they would tear it to shreds, so that the pastors, the common people, the Christians, the society, the schools, that they would no longer believe in the Bible anymore, that they would totally reject the Bible. They would totally reject Christianity, marriage, nationalism, patriotism, a moral right and a moral wrong. And the way that the Frankfurt School Marxists taught their students to participate in the total destruction and removal of Christianity from their culture was through this technique of the German schools of higher theological criticism. Now, notice what happens simultaneously. As millions of Christian students and teachers and professors and pastors are being scientifically brainwashed to completely reject the Bible as having any credibility at all, at the same time that process is going full blast, and the students are being programmed to reject all aspects of the Bible. At the same time that that process of higher criticism is going full blast, another process is being released simultaneously. Now, this process is not called higher criticism. This process that is being released simultaneously is a process of high-speed, accelerated brainwashing, accelerated indoctrination, accelerated programming, accelerated mind control, and the German pastors, the people, the Christians, the middle class, the working class are being like super brainwashed into being tolerant, accepting occult powers, joining the German secret occult societies like Vril, Thule, Golden Dawn, and many other Nazi occult secret societies. The masses of German Christians are being programmed and brainwashed to accept, to believe in the occultism that Hitler and the Third Reich believed in. And so suddenly you have this massive conversion of Germans rejecting the Bible, but now they're accepting and warming up to Satanism, Luciferianism, teaching of the secret societies, the Illuminati, the Rosicrucians, Skull and Bones, and all these other Nazi secret societies and Nazi occult groups. They're being indoctrinated at a very high speed into accepting and practicing Nazi occult witchcraft, Satanism, Luciferianism, and the teachings of the secret societies. So, what's happening here? It's very important to know this, and I have never been in a Christian institution of education ever where they taught on this. And this is a life or death matter. So this is what happened. You had in America across the world, and especially in Germany, you had this 180-degree turn where the German people began to reject and throw away biblical Christianity, biblical morality, an absolute right, an absolute wrong, and just they were taught to burn it, totally reject it. Now, here's the trick. Here's the deceptive, satanic trick that was being utilized secretly. It's not just that they were brainwashed into rejecting Christianity, the Bible, and biblical morality. That's only half the story. The other half of the story is that they were open to being fully brainwashed, indoctrinated, subjected to scientific mind control. They openly accepted the occult, Satanism, and many other evil supernatural powers. They accepted it. They began to practice it. They began to use it in their lives. So you see two things happening simultaneously. On one hand, the Christian church is getting weaker and weaker and weaker because it has been penetrated by Satanists, Luciferians, occultists, and many other evil supernatural forces. These supernatural forces weren't hidden. They were out in the open. The swastika is a symbol of satanic lightning bolts. The swastika also comes from ancient mystical Tibet. The Vril Society, the Thule Society, represent ancient occultic practices. So on one hand, you have the students being indoctrinated in secular humanism, in atheism, in rejecting anything to do with the supernatural, rejecting anything to do with the Bible. You have that going on full speed ahead on one hand. But on the other hand, what you have going on full speed ahead is not only the total rejection of biblical Christianity, but the total aggressive acceptance of occultism, of witchcraft, of Satanism, of Luciferianism, of German occult secret societies, and not only that, the teaching, the utilization. Adolf Hitler was demon-possessed and a master of the occult arts. His top generals were the masters of occult arts and deeply involved in the occult. So, this was a weird dynamic. On one hand, there's an explosion of interest and participation in Satanism and the occult. And on the other hand, simultaneously, there's the total rejection of the Bible, Christian truth, and Jesus Christ. So Nazi Germany becomes one of history's most recent examples of the Third Reich, which is an occultic, satanic, Luciferian empire. And so the secret that they don't want you to know that was covered up in the Nuremberg trials for war crimes, the secret that they don't want you to know is that the Nazis were communicating to spiritual entities, spirit guides, fallen angels, and the Nazis were receiving telepathic and clairvoyant messages from the Vril-Ya maidens, these female clairvoyants, and they were writing down detailed blueprints of how to build highly advanced technological super weapons, UFOs, anti-gravity machines, laser beam weapons, and all kinds of weapons. The Nazis were, because they were using the occult satanic force known as the Vril Force, the Nazis were also using the Vril Force as a supernatural energy force a supernatural intelligence force that enabled to win supernatural victories in warfare. And it enabled their mind control scientists, their rocket scientists, and their genetic scientists to make futuristic and highly advanced technological breakthroughs. Now, right there is the great secret that nobody wants you to know. I've written about it exhaustively in my books, Power from On High, that you can pre-order now at a discount. And by the way, I am trying to communicate this truth to as many Christians and conservatives as I possibly can, as fast as I can. Because you see, right now what we're seeing is a repeat of the occult dynamics that played out in Nazi Germany during World War II. We're on the edge of World War III, and behind the scenes, it's being hidden from you, but the militaries of this world, in Russia, in the United States, and many other places, they are tapping into, they are accessing very, very, very powerful satanic forces, occultic forces, forces of witchcraft, psychic powers, and they're combining their advanced knowledge of science with using these very high-powered occultic sciences and technologies. Remember, we live in an age where scientific mind control is everywhere. But remember, scientific mind control flows directly from sorcery, ancient sorcery in the occult. Now, let me show you how dangerous this is. But let me also say, God has given his people, that's you and I, he has given us a supernatural power, the dunamis, the dynamite explosive power of the Holy Spirit. God has given us the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit so that we might be able to overcome victoriously the satanic powers of the enemy or the evil one. But we have to use the supernatural authority in Jesus' name and the supernatural power in Jesus' name. We have to use these. And that is what I am dedicated trying to communicate this to as many people as fast as I can across the United States and across the world. And the only way that we can win the battle and the only way we can turn the battle around 180 degrees is if we join together in unity and access by faith in God's word the supernatural power of God, the dunamis, the dynamite explosive power of God, power from on high. Power from on high is not some kindergarten toy. Power from on high is a formidable spiritual force that is sent from heaven into the earth, into God's people, whenever God's people call on his name and ask him to send them power from on high. When God's people ask Jesus to do that, he does it. But first, God's people must ask to be cleansed of all sin by the blood of Jesus Christ. And then by faith, they access the supernatural power from on high. Now, if we do that, we can win this spiritual battle in the interim. And it's imperative that we win this spiritual battle because God doesn't want us to lose this spiritual battle. He intends for us to be victorious at this moment in history because God has a plan for the American church and Christians in America as well as other places around the world. So, we need to move immediately into the mode of being overcomers, being more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. And when we do that by faith, we can rip down the satanic strongholds. We can call down the angelic armies. We can call upon God to release his mighty chariots of fire that will blaze out of another dimension. These are not mythologies, please. These are not fairy tales. These are not little, you know, airy fairy stories. This is truth. God has given us the enormous supernatural power through the dunamis power of the Holy Spirit to disintegrate the works of the enemy and drive the enemy from our land. And anywhere we, the body of Christ, decide to operate in belief, appropriating the blood of Jesus Christ, that includes the Ukraine, Russia, NATO, the U.S., wherever the battlefield is, we can call down the angelic armies. We can call down the chariots of fire. And we can encounter the enemy on the spiritual battlefield. Listen to me, please. We can engage the enemy on the spiritual battlefield with overwhelming force. And I want to repeat that again. We don't encounter or engage the demonic armies, the fallen angel armies, you know, by playing tiddlywinks. No, we turn around, we put our faith in God's word, and we engage the satanic and Luciferian armies with overwhelming force, overwhelming force. That means it's a force so powerful that it overwhelms the satanic forces and the satanic technology. And when you release this overwhelming force, it is so powerful that it shakes both the earth and the heaven. You're listening to Paul McGuire. I'm Paul McGuire. Visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. This is the Paul McGuire Report on Paul McGuire. Okay, I want to talk about Klaus Schwab again and the World Economic Forum. This is critical information that you need to pass on. As we've studied and talked about these things together, many of you have been listening to this program for decades. I have brought up on numerous occasions the fact that Lucifer, or Satan's organizational flowchart, is a pyramidal flowchart or structure where Satan's top elite are at the top of the pyramid. The all-seeing eye of Lucifer is at the top of the pyramid. And then the slaves and those who receive compartmentalized information are at the base of the pyramid, where it says in Latin, Nuvos Order Seclorum, or New Order of the Ages, or New World Order, or just simply the Great Reset. Now, we need to know something about our enemies. NATO, the European Union, and people like Klaus Schwab have not only Illuminati connections, other occult connections, satanic connections, but they have genetic connections in terms of Illuminati bloodlines and genetics. They have genetic connections to the Nazis. So, for example, Klaus Schwab, head of the World Economic Forum, his father ran a very prosperous business. I think it was either in Austria or Germany. And Hitler was so pleased with his father's business that was making weapons that Klaus Schwab's family received all kinds of awards. And that's important to know. And other, like, royal families, elite families in the European Union, in the United States, were secretly or funding or making weapons for Adolf Hitler and the Nazis. So this Nazi philosophy, which was occultic, the Nazi mindset, the Nazi worldview of the Third Reich was interfaced with people like Klaus Schwab and others. You need to know that. And then the other thing is that this whole concept of genetic engineering and the science of eugenics. The science of eugenics was really catapulted by the Nazis, and the science of eugenics is using DNA, the manipulation of DNA, to create a Nazi-like master race that the Nazis believed had superior intelligence, power, and so on and so forth. And so NATO was very much into this. The World Economic Forum was very much into this. The Bilderberg Group was very much into this. So the Nazi occult secret societies were flourishing way back in the early 1900s, as early as 1920. And one of their primary goals was to exterminate through abortion, sterilization, the Holocaust, and many other mechanisms. One of their primary goals was to exterminate and eradicate any race, any ethnic group, any genetic group that they deemed inferior. So they wanted to wipe out what they deemed the inferior races, and they wanted to vastly multiply what they believed were the master races or the superior races. So the World Economic Forum and Adolf Hitler knew that Rockefeller was financing eugenics laboratories in America as far back as the 1920s, and that Rockefeller and his laboratories in Cold Spring Harbor were science of eugenics laboratories, and they were trying to create a master race. And so Hitler studied and got the research papers about this, and he used their science of eugenics technology and their genetic science. Hitler used all that, and he put it to work in Nazi Germany, exponentially multiplying what he believed was the master race and the races that had superior DNA. So the World Economic Forum additionally has been hand selecting for many, many decades the young men and women that they believe are genetically the most intelligent young men and women there are, and that they believe are genetically superior, that they're genetically part of a master race, and they hand-select these men and women that they believe are genetically superior, and they train them in special globalist elite schools, special globalist elite institutions, and they give them a vastly superior education where they really transform their minds and they make them super intelligent, their perception, they are super aware, and their gifts have been developed on a level that vastly exceeds the average American or average European student. This has been going on for decades, hidden from you, because they don't want you to know that it's not an open playing field, that it's not a fair game. They don't want you to know that. They don't want you to know that the people that they believe are genetically superior are getting special treatment, special training, special financing, and then they are specially educated and trained. They are hand-picked, selected, and put in as the presidents of the most powerful nations on earth. They are put in as the prime ministers of the most powerful nations on earth, and they are trained to be the heads of the most powerful, wealthiest institutions on planet Earth. It's a secret selection process. And let me just name you, as I did the other day, just a couple of names of the people that they have, that the World Economic Forum has selected over the years. So they selected Angela Merkel, the head of Germany, Tony Blair, Nicolas Sarkozy, Bill Gates, Bono, Richard Branson of Virgin Music and the jet company, Jorma Olila of Shell Oil, Jose Manuel Barrasso. These have all been hand-selected. And there's a lot more, too. Many, many of the heads of the high-tech companies and the computer companies and the big super billionaires and the prime ministers and the big, big generals and the heads of the United Nations, etc. Many, many, many of them have been pre-selected and groomed to implement the hidden agenda and the goals, the secret goals of the globalist elite. So they're put into power. They receive special under-the-table funding. And then all of a sudden, mysteriously, they end up as the prime ministers of Canada, the presidents of this nation, the heads of power in many different nations. It's a secret, secret selection process. It's not fair, and it's done on their appraisal on testing on who they believe are genetically superior to the ordinary masses. Now, I'm just going to read quickly some, because now, at this point in time, they have literally, they are in the process of choosing thousands and thousands of people to be the heads of their new world order and to implement, without questioning, the new world order, the global reset, 5G, the reboot, and all the other dark agendas that they have. They're hand-selected, so-called genetically superior people are going to, as radical transhumanists, they're going to transform the world. And they're going to create, at the top of the pyramid, the rulers, or the master race, and at the bottom of the pyramid, they're going to program people to be slaves. So let me name some of what they call the influential young global leaders that they have picked for positions of power. Crown Princess Victoria of Sweden, Crown Prince Haakon of Norway, Crown Prince Frederick of Denmark, Prince Jaime de Bourbon of De Parme, Netherlands. Now notice right there, genetically, that's a blonde-haired, blue-eyed master race bunch. You notice something interesting with who they choose? Now they spread it out a little bit. Princess Rima bint Bandar Al Saud, ambassador for Saudi Arabia. Jacinda Ardern, Prime Minister New Zealand. Alexander De Croo, Prime Minister Belgium. Emmanuel Macron, President of France. Sanna Marin, Prime Minister of Finland. Again, a very heavy percentage of blonde-haired, blue-eyed types and Aryan types. And remember, Aryans come from many of the Islamic nations. Okay, so let's keep going down the list. Carlos Alvarado Quesada, President of Costa Rica. Fasil Ali Rahim, Minister of Economy, Saudi Arabia. Shauna Aminoth, Minister of Environment, Maldives. Ida Auken, Prime Minister of Environment, Denmark. She was the producer. She wrote the famous article, "Welcome to 2030, Own Nothing, Have No Privacy, and Life Has Never Been Better." Yeah, for her, because she's a, in their eyes, a genetically superior elitist that has been given billions of dollars. Of course, life has never been better, because you're going to be her slave. That's why life has never been better. Annalena Baerbock, Minister of Foreign Affairs, Germany. Kamisa Camara, Digital Economy, Mali. Eugen Dorji, Minister of Domestic Affairs, Bhutan. Then Head of Finance of Canada. Martin Guzman, Master of Finance, Argentina. Minister of Energy, Pakistan. Paula Ingabire, Minister of Information, Rwanda. I mean, it just goes on and on. Oh, look at this. A lot of tech people and environmentalists and climate people. Leonardo DiCaprio. They think he must be genetically superior. He's an actor and climate activist. Matthias Klum, photographer and environmentalist. Jack Ma, founder of Alibaba, tech company. Larry Page, founder of Google. Rikin Patel, founder of Avaaz. David de Rothschild, Illuminati bloodline himself, adventurer and environmentalist. Jimmy Wale, founder of Wikipedia. Jacob Wallenberg, chairman of Investor. Nicholas Zennstrom, founder of Skype. Mark Zuckerberg, founder of Facebook. And it continues on. And the list of the genetic ruling elite continues. The head of Coca-Cola, the head of Amoco, British Petroleum, J.P. Morgan Chase, Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. And by the way, the vast majority of these global elite, they believe they're has genetic superiority, and they believe in euthanasia, which is wiping out of genetically defective, old, inferior, or sick people. They want to wipe them out from 7 billion people to 500 million people. Look, let me tell you something. Either we take control of our own destinies, as God has given us the power, or you will weep and I will weep bitter tears as we serve the new pharaohs who rule from their pyramid structures. This is not like crazy town stuff. You're looking into the face of reality. This is supported by Bible prophecy. Now, if you have this attitude that there's nothing you can do about it, you're just going to be a slave, your destiny is to die, and all the rest of that stuff, that's called fatalism. You can't be a fatalist and be a believer in Jesus Christ. They're totally opposites. So if you go around mouthing, talking, and acting fatalism, you are in direct disobedience to the laws of God's kingdom, which teaches us knowledge is power. Faith in God's word. Nothing is impossible with God. So bottom line, this is Paul McGuire. You're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. You either operate on the principles of the kingdom of heaven and experience victory, or you repeat robotically the hypnotic language of a slave, and you speak out of your own mouth that you are an inferior, enslaved person. You make the choice. You're at the crossroads right now. If we blow it, and let me tell you how you blow it. Misinterpreting Bible prophecy. You think you got it right, but the fact is you got it 180 degrees wrong. That's how you blow it. We can't afford stupidity. and we can't afford fatal mistakes. God bless you. This is your brother in Christ, Paul McGuire. Visit paulmcguire.us.